Now we are at part five of our Roots Growing Deeper series. We're going to talk about sacrifice tonight, and sacrifice is something that it's hard to get your arms around, I think, isn't it? Yeah. Sacrifice is, do I sacrifice enough? I don't know. How do I know if I've sacrificed anything? It's kind of conceptually, it's a little bit tough to grasp, but we want to talk about it tonight. So I want to start off with a little story to help us. I think it relates a little bit. There was an elderly man that kind of got sick and went to the doctor with his wife. And the doctor said, you know, looked at the man, didn't get a quick evaluation, and said to his wife, I need to talk to you alone. So he brought the wife into a room, and he began to talk to the wife and said, hey, good news and bad news, okay? He's terminal. He's going to die. This what he has here is going to kill him. And she was shocked, of course. And he said, but the good news is, with a little bit of sacrifice, a little bit of work, then he can survive. And she said, what do you mean? He said, well, he needs some tender, loving care. He needs to be taken care of every day. Okay, you're going to have to cook three meals a day, fresh vegetables and fruits. You're going to have to help him. You're going to have to give him as much comfort as possible. You're going to have to give him body massages every day. You're going to have to massage his feet, and every little toe. You're going to have to massage everything and just to get the blood flowing. And if you do things like that, if you take care of him and give him all this care, then he'll survive. Otherwise, he'll die. And she said, oh, okay. So she went back into her husband. The husband said, what did the doctor say? And she said, the doctor said you're going to die. You see, she didn't want to sacrifice. And you and I, we could be the same way. It's hard to sacrifice, and one of the reasons is because, let me give you a quick definition, sacrifice, in a biblical sense, what we want to talk about tonight, biblical sacrifice is offering to God something precious for the sake of something or someone else. Offering to God something precious for the sake of something or someone else. You know, for us, sacrifice is missing our favorite TV program. I mean, that's a sacrifice for us. Or, you know, not taking the last piece of pie. That's about as deep as our sacrifice goes a lot of times. We don't understand what it means to sacrifice. Those of you that have traveled abroad, I've had the chance to go to Ukraine, and I remember being there, and we'd go into people's houses, and obviously they were dirt poor, didn't have anything, yet they would take their best food out of the cupboard. They would cook it, and they would be offended if we didn't eat and eat and eat. And basically, you know, you're eating all their good food that they have to live on. Same thing when I've been to Central America. People are so generous, and they'll just sacrifice, and they'll do it with a smile. You know, I get out of, you know, I have to give up some comfort, and I get upset about it. I don't know what sacrifice means. It's hard for us to comprehend in this country what it means to sacrifice. And I just want to share with you that you happen to be in a church where there has been sacrifice that I haven't seen, that you haven't even seen. That people around you truly have modeled what it means to sacrifice to some degree. We can be confident of that. God has blessed our church because people have sacrificed. And we don't see it all the time. I don't see it. You don't see it. And I appreciate it when you do, even if I don't see it. But because of your sacrifice, people are going to heaven. Do you know that? People's lives are going to be different in eternity as we sacrifice something precious for the sake of something or someone else. Eternity is in the balance. When we sacrifice, when we give up things that are dear to us, then God uses that and it'll change eternity. And that's why we need to learn about it. That's why we need to understand what it means. So what I'd like to do is show you a clip from a movie that is on this topic of sacrifice. I think it's so powerful, very moving. It's from the movie Schindler's List. Steven Spielberg directed this or whatever he did with it. But you've seen it, and toward the end of the movie, there is a scene that is very powerful on this whole idea of sacrifice. And Oscar Schindler, as you probably know, he was a war profiteer, and he sold war goods and produced them and sold them to the Nazis. He was just there to get money, make a profit off the war. And in the process, he was able to actually save the lives of over 1,100 Jewish men and women who were destined for the death camps. They were certain to die, yet he rescued them and brought them into his manufacturing facilities and saved their lives. In the same time, he made profit, but it cost him money. It cost him a sacrifice. And toward the end of the war, he realized with his money, he could actually buy Jews and save their lives. And he was trying to do that. He was saving lives by sacrificing what was precious to him, which was money. Now, in the clip that we're going to watch, I just want you to lock in with it. I don't want you to miss it. It's toward the end of the war, end of World War II, and the Allies are winning, and it's clear they're going to be coming through this camp pretty soon. And all these Jews that love Oskar Schindler, who saved their lives, are now trying to usher him out to safety. So they dress him up as a prisoner. They give him a letter saying, hey, this guy he helped us. He's not a Nazi. He's a good guy. And they send him off. In the process of sending him off, Oskar Schindler is overwhelmed with emotion, understanding that he could have saved more Jews had he had the insight and if he had sacrificed just a little bit more. And what I want you to comprehend is, imagine, I think of this clip as thinking about heaven. Now, I don't know what's going to happen when we get to heaven. I don't know if there'll be regrets. But I think, you know what? Oftentimes, we don't sacrifice because the value of the sacrifice isn't truly seen till after the fact. You see what I'm saying? We don't truly understand the value of sacrifice until we're on the other side and we go, oh my goodness, I wish I'd done more. And I don't want us, I don't want me to get to heaven and go, oh, I could have done more. I could have done more with the stuff God gave me. What a horrible thought. What a horrible feeling. And I just want you to watch this clip and understand that sacrifice, oftentimes the value of sacrifice, doesn't fully hit us. We can't comprehend it until it's too late. And so tonight we're going to learn about sacrifice so that we don't have regrets in heaven. So watch this and I'll be right back up.
We have written a letter trying to explain things in case you were captured. Every worker has signed it.
Hebrew from the Talmud, it says, whoever saves one life saves the world entire.
There are 1,100 people who are alive because of you, Okatan.
If I'd made more money, I threw away so much money. You have no idea. If I just...
There will be generations because of what you did.
I didn't do enough.
You did so much.
This car. Good, what about this car? Why did I keep the car? 10 people right there. 10 people. 10 more people. This pin. 2 people. This is gold. 2 more people. You would have given me 2 for it. At least 1. You would have given me 1. 1 more. 1 more person. Person, Stan. For this. I could have gone. 1 more person. And I didn't.
You know, that scene is so profound to me. And again, if we remember what I said, is that the value of sacrifice quite often is not realized till it's too late. And you and I, we have opportunity now. We've been given a lot, haven't we? We have been given so much we can't even comprehend it. And someday, like I talked about last week, we'll give an account. And I don't want to have any regrets. I hope you don't want to have regrets either. That you and I understand this concept of what it means to sacrifice now and why we should sacrifice. And am I sacrificing enough? What's a sacrifice? We're going to look at 4 quick stories in the Old and New Testament about sacrifice to kind of get a picture of what biblical sacrifice really is. And hopefully by the time we're done, you'll understand it better and be able to have confidence that you won't have regrets. You won't have any regrets when you get to the end of your life. So let's pray. We'll ask God to bless this time. Lord, we thank you for today. And Lord, I pray that you would help us truly understand this concept of sacrifice and giving that which is precious to us for someone or something else. Lord, this life is short. We need to make the most of it. We don't want to have regrets, God. And I fear that I will. With all that's gone through my fingers, all the resources you've given me, I just want to change and I want to make sure that I truly am. Sacrificing that which is precious to me for the sake of others, so that eternity will be different. Pray that you help us all to grasp this concept now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 3 truths about sacrifice. First one is this. Sacrificial giving is not about the amount. And Zach nailed it right on the head. Sacrificial giving, it's not the amount. What is God concerned about? He's really concerned about our heart. That is true. God is concerned about the heart, not the amount. And we need to look at a story that will help us understand that. It's the story of the widow's mite. What's a mite? Anybody know what a mite is? We've heard the story. The widow's mite. What is that? It's a small what? Yeah, it's a penny. It's a copper coin that's worth just a fraction of a penny, actually. Just a small, tiny bit of money. And we call the story The Widow's Mite. And I subtitle it The Valuable Gift. And again, we're going to look at four quick stories here and glean what we can about sacrifice. Okay, here's the first story. Mark chapter 12, starting verse 41. We're going to see here that Jesus is doing something kind of interesting. In verse 41, it says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, that would be translated mites, worth only a fraction of a penny. So what we see here is very interesting, that Jesus, evidently in the temple area, there was a place to put donations, kind of like we have the boxes on the side back there. But imagine if really what we did is we had one big box sitting right here on the stage where donations were given. And that's evidently what they did back then. They had one place where if you wanted to donate to God's work, you would come and you put it right here. And Jesus, and evidently this was a public forum. This was a spectator sport. And people would sit around, and here's the box, and you'd sit and you'd watch people. And back then, people would kind of show what they're going to give. And they'd kind of plop it down into the box or into the place where they gave money. And Jesus was watching this. He just sat down, and there's probably other people around, and just watched what people gave. So everybody knew what everybody else was giving. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if we did that here? You know, we put a box out here, and we had a little table with a camera over the top of the table. So as you wrote out your check, it was flashed on. Everybody's watching. Oh, yeah. Oh, must have had a tough month, I guess. Yeah. And they watched you, and they put it in, and maybe they'd apply. I don't know what they would do. But Jesus was watching, and he saw something. He saw a rich person put in a big bag of money, plopped it down. Maybe they beat their chest. I don't know what they did. Maybe they had a good heart. It doesn't say. But they put down evidence. You could tell it was a lot of money, a whole bunch of money. And then a poor widow came and put two copper coins that were less than a penny. And Jesus was intrigued by this. And he wanted to make a point about sacrifice to his disciples. So here's what he did. Pick it up in verse 43. It says, calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has put, say it with me, more. Okay, let's try that again. Okay, you can talk louder. It's okay. Let's say that word together. It says, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. What? They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. So Jesus calls his disciples over, says, guys, Peter, come here. John, come right around here. See that lady walking away there, that poor lady? And you saw the rich people put their money in. I want to teach you a lesson here. That poor lady that just threw those two copper coins in, she put more than those rich guys over there, the ones that dropped those big bags of money, she put more in. And they're going, what? And he said, yeah, here's the deal. She put more in because they gave out of their what? What did they give out of? Out of their wealth. But she gave everything she had to live on. Now, stop and think about that. If that's true, and Jesus said it, I guess we can trust it. She gave everything she had to live on. She just put two little tiny copper coins in. It was nothing. It was not a big gift, but Jesus said it was out of her poverty that she gave. And you think, well, is that what God wants for us, to take everything we have and sell it and give it away so we have nothing left? Well, I don't think that's necessarily what God's calling us all to do. I thank God for what I'm going to talk about next week. I thank God for percentage giving. God says, listen, here's a plan for you. I've got a plan so that you don't have to have this pressure of being like you've got to give everything away, that you have to live off nothing. God is very generous. He's very kind. He has a plan for us, I think, that'll help us to give to him and go, you know what? This is what God prescribed. I'm so thankful that God kind of tells me how much to give. We don't have to worry. Because if we're going to be like this widow, quite honestly, what we would have to do, if you want to give like this widow, if you want to sacrifice like this widow who Jesus prays, that means you have to go to your bank tonight and close all your accounts down, get cashier's check, and go give the money away to the poor. Then you have to go, if you own a house, go to your house, go on eBay and start at a penny and say, I'm selling my house. and do a one-day bid. Get it sold, you get that money, and you go give it away to somebody else. Then you take all your possessions, put them on the lawn, and say, one day fire sale, and you sell all your junk. Take that money, give it away. Take all your clothes, except the clothes on your back. Sell them, give the money away. Take your cars, your vehicles, your bicycle, anything that you own, sell it, give it all away. You have nothing left. Then have your relatives move away so nobody can take care of you. And then have somebody give you a penny and say, this is all you have. And they instruct you and you go, what am I going to do with it? Well, I might as well just give it away. And when that coin hits the bucket, then you can relate to the widow. Because she gave everything away that she had to live on. She had nothing. Again, is that the kind of sacrifice God is looking for? I don't think so necessarily. Now, if you want to do that, then you know that you can do that if God calls you to do that. I don't necessarily think that's God's plan for everyone. And I don't think that's the point of the story. What's the point of the story here? It's a heart. It's not hard to give when you have a lot of money. So the amount is not necessarily that important. It's about the heart. Let me share with you a couple of real-life examples to illustrate this point. Eli Raymer, who is on your right in the little red car, recently, Eli, his dad is Tony and Laurie Raymer and Sandy, and recently, Eli was coming home from church with his dad a couple weeks ago, and Eli said, Dad, is it nice out? Is it warm out today? And his dad said, well, yeah, Eli, it's pretty warm. I'd say it's nice out. He said, I'd like to do a lemonade stand and give the money to Roots, because they're learning about that in their Sunday school. And Tony said, okay. So they set up shop, and they did a two-hour lemonade stand. They raised $15. True story. And little Eli gave that away to the Roots campaign. And you go, that kid's got it. That is so cool. And he was happy about it. His dad was happy. Kid's getting it. Here's another example of someone that gave money. Ted Turner, in 1997, pledged to give $1 billion to the United Nations. And he didn't give it all at once. He gave 10 years of $100 million installments. So for the last, he just got done with it in 2007. So every year for 10 years, he gave away $100 million to the UN. That's a lot of, would anybody say that's a lot of money? That's a lot of money. I ask you this question, which gift is more valuable in God's eyes? Little Eli's is pretty important, isn't it? Now, do we discount the big gift? Do we just kind of write that off and go, that's nothing? Well, that is something, isn't it? We can't just say, that's nothing. It's valuable, but really, do we know which is more valuable? Do we know, what if Ted Turner only had $1 billion? Only had $1 billion. What if he only had, that's all he had, if that's all he had. If that's all he had and he gave it all away, that, again, then you go, oh, that's amazing. Well, point thing is, when he gave it away, he was worth $2.3 billion. So he still had $1.3 billion left. So he's definitely giving out of his wealth. To his credit, I think he gets a lot of slam, but here's some quotes as he gave that away in a press conference. He said this, what good is wealth sitting in the bank? They're asking him, why'd you give so much away? I thought that was good. What good is wealth sitting in the bank? It's a pretty pathetic thing to do with your money, said Ted Turner. He also said this, the more good I do, the more money has come in. You have to learn how to give, says Ted Turner. You're not born to give, you are born selfish. So he said, listen, what good is my billions of dollars doing in the bank? And he gave $1 billion away. Little Eli's gift was important too. Both are valuable. God looks at our heart. So when you give and you give sacrificially, God looks at your heart. You know the best time to give, in my opinion? When you're broke. When you don't have much. That's the time to start giving. Not when you have lots of money. Oh God, when I have lots of money, I'll start giving. No, you know what? It's a bad time. You start giving when you don't have much. That's the best time. God says, that shows me your heart. That shows me your heart. And that's what God's interested in, okay? Pablo Picasso said, I'd like to live like a poor man, only with lots of money. I think it's kind of insightful. You know, if he said that with a good heart, that's the right attitude. I'd like to live well below my means And I don't know what he wants to use the money for, but we could use it to change eternity if we did that. We make this much money, oftentimes our lifestyle bumps up against it. What if we lived at 80% of that? So when our income went down, we're still okay. Income went up, we'd save more money. Who says you have to live right here? Well, you don't have to. You can make a choice to live below what you're making. That's a novel thought, isn't it? We could do that. In this country, you know, we are marketed to and say that's a bad idea, but it's not. It's a good idea. So it's not about the amount, it's about your heart when it comes to sacrificial giving, okay? Point number two, sacrificial giving will cost you. It's giving up something precious. That's going to hurt. That's going to be painful. That's going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. Sacrifice is not easy. David, we're going to look at his story, had a good conviction. And he understood this principle that sacrifice must cost me something. And in 1 Chronicles, I'm gonna read some of this story, then I'll come back to the last verse here. Just let me talk about this story for a little bit. In 1 Chronicles 21, here's the deal. David had sinned. You know this story, 1 Chronicles 21. I don't have the verses up there, but David had sinned, and God was punishing the whole nation of Israel. There was a plague, and people were dying. And David begged God. He said, God, please stop the plague. Stop this. This was my sin. I did this. And at one point, David was out and about, and God sent an angel down, this huge angel, and it came down to the earth, and it stopped right in front of David, and the angel stopped the plague right before his eyes. And the place where the angel came down was at a threshing floor, or the property of a man named Araunah. And at the time, Araunah was threshing wheat on his threshing floor with his four sons. And here's what happened. The boys saw the angel, and they took off running. And the dad was like, where'd the boys go? He's looking for them. They're gone. And he's standing there, and out of the blue comes King David walking into his backyard. Can you imagine that? I mean, that just, it'd be frightening. It'd be like me working on my tomato plants, or Derek, you know, working on his garden. And your kids are back there with you, and all of a sudden, you know, somebody busts through the door. There's a CIA guy with, you know, a black coat, and he's talking to the thing. There's Marines with machine guns walking into your backyard, and you're going, what's going on? And that's what happened. David came walking up to this guy, and David says, you know what? God has stopped the plague right here. And God spoke to this guy and told David to buy this land right here. I want to make an altar here, so I'll pick it up here. And I'll share the last verse in a second. It says, then the angel of the Lord ordered Gad to tell David to go up and build an altar of the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. So David went up in obedience to the word that Gad had spoken in the name of the Lord. Gad was his kind of spiritual advisor. While Araunah was threshing wheat, he turned and saw the angel. His four sons who were with him hid themselves. Then David approached, and when Araunah looked and saw him, he left the threshing floor and bowed down before David with his face to the ground. David said to him, let me have this site of your threshing floor so I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague of the people might be stopped. Sell it to me at full price. Araunah said to David, take it. You see what's happened here? Take it. You can have it. This guy is freaking out. The king of the country is in his backyard. He's bowing down to him. David says, I want your land. I want your backyard here. And the guy goes, you can have it. It's all yours. It's good. You take it. He says, let my lord the king do whatever pleases him. Look, I'll give him oxen for the burnt offerings, the threshing sledges for the wood for your offering, and the wheat for the grain offering. I give you all of this. Take it. Very generous. Probably very wise. And David says something amazing. Here's the verse I want to show you. David says this, but King David replied to Araunah, no, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours or sacrifice a burnt offering that cost me what? Nothing. Listen, you and I, when it comes to this idea of sacrificing, giving up what is important to us for the sake of others, someone or something else, it's going to cost. It's going to hurt. And it may be a small cost. It may be a large cost. But when it comes to giving to God, it is going to cost you something. It would not be true that you are sacrificing if your life doesn't change because of your sacrifice. David could have thought, man, God's score. Man, you told me to buy it, and then you provided for me. The guy just offered me all his land. Thank you, God. You're amazing. I got it for free. He said, no, no, no. If I'm going to sacrifice, guess what? It's going to cost me. It needs to cost me. We need to realize that as well. Maybe small sacrifice, maybe large sacrifice. But again, it's our heart. I've been so encouraged even by this Roots campaign, hearing different stories like Eli's story and other people that are giving up little things, maybe a Starbucks for a period of time, maybe not doing Starbucks every morning, maybe taking some days off, and it adds up over 3 years. The youth group has come up with some great ideas for how to maybe not do as many iTunes downloads during a week, and you know, that adds up as well over 3 years. My son, you know, he said that I could buy a pop every day at school. He works after school to clean floors, and it's a great job for a 14-year-old. And he said, you know, I'm tempted to buy a pop every day. It's 60 cents. And he did the math. He said, that's over $1,000 in 3 years. So he's going to put that on his pledge card. He's just not going to drink a pop. He said, I'll just come home, Dad. No, you got pop in the refrigerator. I'll just drink your pop. That's what he's going to do. Smart kid. But he's making a sacrifice. That's easy for him. You know, he's cleaning floors. It'd be great just to go get a pop. And large or small, the point is this, it's going to cost you. Do you get that? It's going to cost you. David said, no, I'm not going to take your stuff and give it to God. It's going to be my stuff. I'm going to give it to God, big or small. It's got to cost you. And I like this quote from someone who understands sacrifice, Elizabeth Elliot, who lost her husband, Jim Elliot. He was murdered. He was a missionary. He was murdered in Ecuador by the Aka Indians. And she said this, to be a follower, listen carefully, to a woman who knows what it means to sacrifice, to be a follower of the crucified Christ means sooner or later a personal encounter with the cross, and the cross always entails loss. To be a Christian, it's going to cost you something. It should be costing you something. We should be sacrificing. God has given us resources, things precious to us, for us to turn around and use for the greater good of other people or other projects. That's what it means to sacrifice. You know, David, again, he had another great example. He did what I call the leadership gift, and this is found in 1 Chronicles 29, so just a couple chapters later. And I'll read part of that story, explain the story to you. What happened was, God told David to build a temple, right? Remember that? And his kingship was just about up, and he was preparing for the temple. He was really getting it ready for Solomon, his son, to build the temple. This is a huge project back then. And it took a lot of effort. It took a lot of money, quite honestly, to build this temple. And David was charged to do that. So what he did was he gathered up all his leaders, and he said, here's the deal, guys. I just want to tell you that God has given us a great project to do, kind of like our Roots project. We believe it's a great project for us to get a permanent facility in Sandy. We think God is leading us, and it's a good thing. But it's going to take money. It's going to take sacrifice. So David gathered his guys and his leaders and men and women and said, this is a great opportunity, a great project, and here's what I'm going to do. Out of my personal treasury, and he starts ripping off the amounts that he was given. He's talking like 110 tons of gold. Wouldn't that be nice in today's market to have 110 tons of gold in your basement? David said, out of my personal treasury, I'm giving 110 tons of gold. I'm giving 260 tons of silver for this project. Out of my personal treasury, what he's saying to his leaders is, this is going to cost me. I believe in this. Leaders, I'm not just telling you to give, I'm doing it. He's leading by example, is he not? He's leading by example in this project. And, you know, quite honestly, it was kind of funny. Last Sunday, while I was having my quiet time, before I was going to teach in Sandy, it just struck me that, wait a minute, isn't this the weekend that we asked our leaders to give their pledges ahead of time? We got with a number of our leaders in our church and asked them to consider making their Roots pledge a couple weeks early. Because you guys, you'll pledge in 2 weeks. Okay, you still have 2 weeks to pray, and I want you just to keep praying. Don't do anything but pray. God, how can I be involved in this campaign? And you need to. We asked our Roots leaders, our church leaders, to pray a little bit faster and get their commitment in 2 weeks early. So it was supposed to come in last week, and I was praying and had my quiet time, and it just hit me. Wait a minute. I haven't even made my commitment yet. That's due this morning. I've been praying for months, and my wife and I, we've been praying. So I had to get my wife, say, honey, man, if I forgot, man, everybody's going to forget this. Nobody's going to give to this thing. And we're supposed to announce this to the church the next weekend, which I'm going to do tonight. to encourage the church of how our leaders are leading. I'm thinking, I forgot to get mine in. We're not going to have anything. It's going to be embarrassing. So quickly, my wife and I got together and we wrote down on cards what God had led us to give, and we flipped them over, and they're the same. The faith gift, which was the highest gift that we both, I had her put down kind of a stretching gift and then a faith gift. We both put numbers down and we turned them over, and they were the same. And it was like, oh no, they're the same. This is going to be a faith gift for sure. So that's what we put on our card. And quite honestly, we wrote that out and it kind of took my breath away, because I've never, ever given a gift of this magnitude. My wife and I have never. This is the largest gift by far that we've ever given. And it's a sacrificial gift. It's a sacrificial gift, and we know that. So we put that in the box last Sunday. And quite honestly, if we were to show you that in our lives, it's like, God, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to come through so that we can be faithful for the next 3 years to give this every month. And I share that with you because David did the same thing, didn't he? He told his leaders, hey, this is what I'm giving. I'm not going to tell you the amount, but just suffice it to say, it's more than we've ever given to anything. And I'm thrilled about it. But David told his leaders, here's the deal. I'm going to give you, this is what I'm giving. Now you guys, what are you going to give? And the leaders stepped up. It says, the leaders of the families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of the thousands and commanders of hundreds, those in charge of the king's work, the leaders, says they gave willingly, because they saw their leader, King David, give willingly. They gave 190 tons of gold, 370 tons of silver for this magnificent project that God had led them to do. And then David told the people, consecrate yourselves now. You see what the leaders have done. Now it's your turn. Step up to the plate. Ask God what you should give. And they all contributed to the project. That's the model we're using in this particular faith-raising campaign. So I've given, we've got with our leaders, said, you do your pledges early, and they did that. So that week, we had to really call people and say, you know, I kind of blew it. Can you turn them in early? So we got those numbers, as many as we could, and we were able to do that. So here's what was a summary of that section that I just read to you. It says this. This is wonderful. It says, the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David, the king, also rejoiced greatly at the response of his leaders. And I just want to encourage you that you have leaders in this church who have sacrificed. You have amazing leaders. Someone said to me, Bill, isn't it kind of amazing that we're doing a fundraiser and some people say this is the worst financial crisis we've had since 1932? I say, yeah, it is kind of amazing, isn't it? I said, it's also an election year, which is also the worst time to do a fundraiser. So we've kind of hit it on both ends. We just kind of hit it right down the middle. This is the worst possible time to do a fundraiser. This is going to flop, isn't it? No, God, you're in control. So we asked our leaders to step up to the plate. And so a bunch of them called in last week or sent their pledges in. And I just want to share with you that the leaders of this church are amazing to me and have blessed us. And I just want to ask you, I'm going to show you what they gave. What they pledge for the next 3 years. This is our leaders, the people that are leading this church. This church in Sandy and Salt Lake and Provo. What would you say if I told you they gave this amount for their pledge? Almost $100,000. Would you go, wow, that's amazing. In this economy, I'd say that's pretty good. But that's not it at all. You know what they gave? They gave $979,000. They pledged almost $20,000 short of $1 million, the leaders of this church pledged almost $1 million last week. And I rejoice greatly. I hope you rejoice too. As the leaders lead, men and women, I want to challenge you. It's your turn to step up and be praying, God, how can I be involved? This is amazing. You have leaders that believe in this project. You have leaders that say, we'll step up. I don't care what, here's what they're telling me. I don't care what the forecast says about our economy, we're going to trust God here. God's in control of our finances. And they spoke with their checkbook, didn't they? We have some amazing leaders in this church. We have some families that are sold out for God and that understand what it means to sacrifice. That includes about 90 families, by the way. 90 families on the leadership that are committed and part of the leadership team or leading and faithful to this church. And now it's time for the rest of us to step up because we still have $1 million to go. And that's where you come in. in 2 weeks. We'll take everyone's pledges. And again, you just do what God tells you. But it's got to cost you something. It costs these leaders. It's cost me to do this. But I think God will honor that, don't you? I think God will honor that. So that's encouraging. That's the fun news for the night. Let's move to our last point here. Sacrificial giving. We know it costs us. We know that it's not about the amount. It's about our heart. Sacrificial giving will always have an impact. It has influence. When we give sacrificially, God honors that. God honors that. And here's a great example. Mary's gift. Who knows what Mary, of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, those three, their brothers and sisters. Who remembers in the New Testament? It's actually in John chapter 12, and it's in Matthew 26, the story of Mary's gift. Who knows what Mary's gift was? What was her gift? Yes. Perfume. It was a bottle of perfume, but not just any perfume. It was an expensive bottle of perfume. How much did it cost? It tells us in the Scripture. A year's wages. How much do you guys make a year? Anybody? No, no, don't shout it out. Imagine going back to your 1040 and what you're going to be filling out here in a couple months. And how much did you make? What was your gross income last year? You have that number in your mind. How much did you make in your mind? You lock into that. Imagine that number, whatever it is. Imagine that number. You go to a perfume shop and you're looking at the shelves and you go, I need one that costs this much. And that number is how much you made last year, the full amount of your year's salary. I need a bottle of perfume, a pint of perfume, it says, that costs this much. And you get it, you spend all that money, you get that perfume, and you walk over to Jesus and you pour it on him. Shake it all out. And all your money is just dripping off of Jesus. A year's wages. Can you imagine that? Now that's not as much as the widow's mite. She gave everything. We know that Mary and Martha still had a house. But that was a sacrificial gift, wouldn't you agree? Not only that, but it came from where? It came from the heart. Because we know that she understood something. Jesus says she understands that this is preparing me for burial. That she's honoring me because she understands who I am. She understands who I am. And this is the amazing thing. Jesus, after she makes this tremendous sacrifice, this gift that is amazing, a year's wages, somebody pipes up and goes, hey, you know, we should have sold that and given the money to the poor. Who said that? Judas did. Judas is watching all this and he's saying, what a wasteful gift. That's ridiculous. That's a lot of money she just poured on you. We should have taken that perfume and sold the money and given it to the poor. We can be very pragmatic that way too, can't we? Oh, you know, I need to save for the future. I need to do this with my money. And Jesus says sometimes when you get it, you're just going to give it and it's going to have impact. Just give it. And not only that, but Jesus says something amazing. Well, first of all, Judas didn't say that so he could give to the poor. Why did he say it? Because it says, the text says, because he was a thief. That's what it says. And he used to help himself to the money in the bag. He wanted to sell the perfume and put it in the bank so he could put it in his pocket. Man, I hope we're not doing that with God's money. I hope you're not doing that. I hope I'm not doing that. God gives me money to sacrifice and I pocket it. No, what we do is we give it to God. Well, God leads us, we give. And if we do, it's going to have impact. This is one of the most amazing statements. You may have read it and wonder what it was talking about, but in the Matthew account of what we just talked about, Mary's gift, this is how it concludes. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of me. No, that's not what it says. In memory of her. Stop and think about that. Jesus says, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the whole world, what she did will be remembered. She will be remembered because of her sacrificial gift and because of her heart to honor me when she gave. And I just want to share with you tonight, the gospel is being preached 2,000 years later, and who are we talking about? Mary. Jesus said it would happen. Wherever the gospel is preached, you're going to hear this story about Mary. And her gift is that impactful. That's profound that Jesus would put that much emphasis on this one gift. Because it was from the heart and it was going to have impact. And it does in eternity. Here's what Randy Alcorn said. I like this quote. He said, because we give, eternity will be different for others and for us. It'll be different. And this church is different. And this church is having an impact. You are having an impact on people's lives. Eternity will be different because of the sacrifices you make with your giving, with your time, with your talents. When we sacrifice those, it has impact. And I want to show you how it has impact. I'd love to bring a bunch of you guys up here and just share how God has changed your life, but we have a few. And we put it on video so we could edit it down a little bit. And I want you to watch and just see how God has affected some lives in this church. This is just one sample of how your sacrifices have changed eternity. Let's watch this just a few minutes and I'll conclude in just a second.
Before I started coming to the Rock, I really wasn't following the Lord. Through my son, who actually first came to the Rock, he had some many struggles that he overcame. And God was the driving force behind him overcoming those problems. He was so blown away by the people that accepted him. And he came home and told me about, hey, you should hear this rocker dude that plays there. It's just like this great music, rock music, but it's for Jesus. And I said, yeah, I'll come check it out. But it was the teachings that were blew me away. First teaching I heard was by Bill Young, and it was just like pierced my heart.
I always wanted God in my life, but I never felt like I could fit in a church. So when we came to the Rock, I was like, whoa, I could see this being part of my lifestyle. I think we both secretly liked it for a while. And then...
I was a little freaked out at first. Joey, Becky, and Nersha invited us over to Joey's house and shared the gospel with us.
It was really cool because we both accepted Jesus together. Mm-hmm. And I remember just leaving their house after that and just looked at each other and knew we were up for an adventure with God. So.
I became a believer at a young age, but I never was given a foundation. So the Rock really helped me to understand how to make God relevant in my day-to-day life.
It was very clear to me after I became a Christian and came back here after I got saved that I needed to have a church and I needed something more than what I had.
My sister Becky introduced me to Steel. First or second time I hung out with him, he shared the gospel with me. I didn't accept it, but I kept coming back to the Rock. I kept reading the Bible, and eventually God broke down walls of pride and got my heart.
God just really turned us around, took us from being kind of selfish people to just wanting to live for God.
It's just been amazing what he has done. And through that, other lives have been affected as well.
What keeps me coming back to the Rock is the love of Jesus Christ, how it's affected my life, and how I know it can affect other people's lives.
This is where God grows me.
It's a place where broken people can come and not have to put on a religious facade.
Having a permanent building for our Sandy Church, I think, can bless to be able to use for things other than church services, like band practices or conferences or just even having time to pray, like having a place that we can go.
I'm just excited to see what God does. I just know He really is going to have us change the world.
It's not about the numbers, it's about the depth. And that, and out of that, there'll be all kinds of growth.
Growing deeper in our relationships with Jesus, He is going to bless that with being able to go farther and do things that right now we can't even imagine.
I think it'll stretch the people at the Rock, including me. Do I really believe in the mission of the Rock? And if so, then will I give what I have, whether it's time or money, to support that.
This new campaign, it just makes me think about everything that happened with the downtown building, and not only the late nights and the hard work that went into it, but all the prayers.
Just the prayers for new people and leaders and people to come to know the Lord. And just seeing how God has answered those prayers and has brought so many people into a relationship with Him, it really blesses my heart to know that I had a part in that. And so I hope that with this Roots campaign that people will be encouraged and willing to step out in faith and expect God to do great things.
thank God for those guys. You know, and Faith there at the end, and Becky Lawson, they're doing coffee tonight. Those guys, you know, they were here at the beginning, and Kristen and Paige and Suge and so many to plant this church. They have sacrificed so much, and they've done it with a smile on their face. They're back serving coffee tonight. And the reason we're even here is because those guys sacrificed their time, their energy, their money, so that heaven's going to be different. And I got to ask you a question. Are you interested in being a part of what God's going to do in the future? Then it starts today. You need today to make a decision. I'm going to be a part of this. I'm going to sacrifice now so that when I look back, it'll cause me to cry and go, man, I'm glad I had a chance to be a part of that. God is up to something huge. I hope you realize that. Don't miss the boat. Don't miss the train. This is an opportunity for you to be a part of something huge that God is doing in Utah, and we are a part of it. And it's happening. And you have leaders that say, we're in to a tune of $1 million. We're in. And I hope you're in as well. If you're not, you're going to have regrets. And we don't want to have regrets. Let me just summarize. Well, here's the building. You've seen it. This is what we're believing God for. And again, it's not about the building. It's about the changed lives that are going to come because of this building. And this church is going to be affected. And the Provo church and all the future churches that we plan will be affected as we get a permanent home in Sandy. Here's the summary statement. Sacrificial giving, offering to God something precious for the sake of something or someone else. That's what we talked about already. I just want to ask you, what has being a Christian cost you lately? Let's just go back as I end here to the clip from Schindler's List. Let's think about that in light of eternity. Do you think it's going to be that way? I don't know. But I do know that sacrifice often isn't realized, that the value of sacrifice is not realized till it's too late. And we go, oh, I could have done more. With all the resources that God gave me, just went through my fingers and this pen that I have, as he said, it would have. I could have bought one more person, one more life, one more person, a person. Stern is what he said, a person. This is worth a person. How much is one life in eternity worth? Are you just going to spend it all on yourself? You stand before God and go, God says, you could have done so much with what I've given you. And by the way, again, this is not just about the money. There have been people I've sat with this week, people who have hearts that want to be a part of this campaign, but their finances are just not there. And they just want to be honest with me and say, Bill, we want to be a part, but we want to lay our finances out to you. You know what I've said to them, some of these people, this week? I said, you know what you should do on your pledge card? You should write zero. Matter of fact, we should be giving money to you. And we will. We're going to give money to some of these people. Some of you shouldn't give. So you shouldn't, depending on where your finances are. You just got to go before God and say, God, show me how I can. And if you're not in a position, then if God leads you that way, but don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself by thinking, oh, I'm kind of tight. And you don't pray and ask God to show you how you can be involved. You ask God. And if everybody in our church does that, that's what we want. We want everyone in this church to say, this is where God's led me. And I'll go, amen. We can rejoice as a church. This is where God has led us. As a church, that's why I'm not telling you, hey, everybody give this much and we'll make it. You go figure it out with God. Have God lead you. For some of you, it might be a big fat zero, and that's perfectly fine. But for most of us, that will not be the case. God wants us to give sacrificially now so that we won't have regrets. This is an opportunity for all of us. And I'm not asking you to do anything that I haven't done and that the leaders of this church have not done. Do you see that? We can speak powerfully because we're doing it. We're leading the way. We're all a part of this. We have to do this together. Let's be amazed in 2 weeks to see what God does, all right? God, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us as a church. You're raising our faith. You're helping us understand even what it means to sacrifice. You're teaching us what it means to be a good steward. You're teaching us what it means to pray. You're teaching us, God, all these things so that our faith will grow. You said there's nothing more precious than faith. There's nothing more important than your faith. And I pray for us as a church, God, you would help us be good stewards with all the resources you've given to us, that each one of us truly would get before you and say, God, how can I be involved in this? You show me a way that I can sacrifice, that it's going to cost me, that it's going to be a gift that has impact. Lord, help us be ones that sacrifice because you're worthy, God. We don't want to have any regrets. We don't want to go, man, I could have gotten one more. There could have been one more person in heaven. Had I used those resources for them rather than for me, might we not have any regrets, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.